This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson, and today I'll talk with the actor and director John Malkovich. We'll also go out into the Nevada desert, where thousands of extremely groovy people go crazy once a year. It's Burning Man 08. But first,
You can pick a body, and then a head, and then put eyes on that head, and I put feet on it and a tail.
Cheryl Rogers works just down the hall from me.
And then there's a moment where you can sort of set it into motion, and it turned and it looked at me. And my initial reaction was to say, hi. I said hello to my computer screen. I said hello to this character.
Cheryl is talking about a character she's created in the new computer game called Spore. And this isn't just some ordinary computer game avatar. Spore lets users create single-celled microbes and, as the game progresses, evolve them into complex and then finally intelligent creatures.
It came immediately alive for me, and I felt at that moment that it had a little kernel of a soul.
As you were making this little creature, did you name it?
Yes, I did.
What was it called?
Name it Baby.
And Spore is Will Wright's baby. Wright is the game designer who made SimCity, the incredible game of society in the modern world. Will Wright has been working on Spore for 7 years now, and it really is epic. It begins with the genesis of life on an unnamed planet somewhere in the universe.
So the first thing we see, in fact, is a comet kind of roaring through this solar system that we selected. And there's a lot of conflicting theories about how life on Earth started. Biogenesis, which is that life originated on this planet, is one. Another is panspermia theory, that life came to our world from some other place, inside of a rock or a comet, etc. And that's the theory that we're actually presenting here. So we see this comet smashed into the planet, little shards falling off into the ocean. Then we follow one little piece kind of down into the water as it breaks open. And we actually see ourselves for the first time. And we're a little creature kind of moving through this environment, single-cell creature swimming. And first thing we have to do is eat. We can choose to eat other little creatures here. They try to run away from
us. And you're running the little microbe guy. This little large-eyed, cartoony microbe is swimming around at your command.
Yes, I'm basically driving his whole life cycle here. He's having to, you know, eat, survive, then eventually reproduce. And at every step of the way, we can incrementally improve this creature. So I might decide I want him to be a little bit faster, or maybe a little bit better at fighting. So I'm going to put a little spike on him. So here I'm actually putting little spikes on my cell, and now when he goes back in the world, first I have to name him. I'm going to name him Little Will. And this is going to be the second generation of my creature that I'm now going to play the evolution of that. And so in this game, you're actually playing through many, you know, maybe 20 generations of evolution, initially as a microbe, but later, you know, you become larger, you move on to land. Depending on what I eat in the game, I'm going to become out of the cell phase as an herbivore, carnivore, or omnivore, which will influence things all the way up to my tribal society, you know, whether I'm a hunter-gatherer, fisherman, or...
Oh, really? This little one or multi-celled creature is eating and doing at this point ramifies out into...
Yeah, totally. And so that becomes, you know, kind of my metabolism even later in the more advanced stages of the game. So what you do at this level of the game is going to influence the game for quite a ways to come, and that's true of every level.
Now, in addition to this, the aquatic environment is now... seems richer with other creatures.
Yeah, as we're growing, we're actually starting to deal with a more complex environment around us. You know, I'm starting to deal with some pretty mean characters here. And he's trying to kill me.
It's still cute rather than terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, you can actually... The player gets to design, you know, these creatures at a higher and higher level as you progress. And so if a player wants to make terrifying monsters, they can.
Yeah. So as you... this game, even before it was launched in the last few weeks, has gotten considerable attention from biologists and evolutionary scientists. How careful were you as you were developing it to stick to or allow yourself to depart from the realities of Earth science?
Well, at any stage where it felt like that was kind of interfering with gameplay, we diverged. And, mm-hmm. you know, in some sense, we didn't really want this game to be overtly educational. What I really wanted was it to be more inspirational and motivational. It's kind of interesting. One of the original inspirations for the game was the SETI project, looking out in the universe for alien intelligence.
Which you've been very active in.
Yeah. I haven't found them yet. But it's an interesting question to me because it ends up collapsing all the known sciences, you know, physics, chemistry, biology, astronomy, into one interesting question that any five-year-old can understand. And so Spore was really an attempt to kind of give an overview of all the sciences in that context.
Let's. I want to play a little bit of a promotional trailer for Spore.
Someone made a decision. Someone looked at a microbe and thought he could use a longer flagella and a pair of pinchers, too.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's king of the ocean. Then someone decided he should hit the beach.
And it goes on in that fashion. And as I was listening to that, and indeed as I was beginning to play the game, I thought, wow, the intelligent design world could be putting this out. They'd be very happy. Someone did all this. It wasn't natural selection. It was someone.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the ironies of the game. This game about evolution, you were actually putting the player basically in the role of intelligent designer, depending on how intelligent the player is.
Was that a strategic choice, or that's the nature of game playing, I guess?
Well, it really was a gameplay choice. The early prototypes, we in fact had the creatures kind of mutating out of your control, and you were picking your favorite mutation, and there was like no emotional engagement with the creature whatsoever. So it was purely done for, you know, getting the players emotionally invested in the experience. On the other hand, not to sell in the red states? Well, I mean, I've been following that whole thing pretty closely. It seems to me like intelligent design is really just an agenda for getting, you know, creationism taught in the schools.
It is, but there are some people who I think in earnest believe in intelligent design, for whom Spore will be their godsend, I imagine.
In that case, that's fine. In fact, you know, I love the idea that a game can kind of spark interesting debates about the real world and philosophy and theology.
Indeed.
And so if it does nothing but that, I would be perfectly happy. So here we actually see our creature at the beginning of the creature phase moving out of the water.
Now he's got legs. And
onto land. Yes, yeah. He has legs. Plus you see other members of its species kind of moving out with it. And so we're kind of in like a little jungle area here. Now at this point in the game, the other creatures were in fact made by other players. Now, you can choose to be social with them or aggressive. Let's try being social to this creature. So we're going to go up to it. And we're going to try, and it basically is singing to us. So if I mimic its song, and sometimes there are other species that just don't like me or are scared of me, and so it's very hard to be social. Now this creature I'm going to try attacking.
Your creature is sort of like a little maybe baby dinosaurish thing.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a little dinosaur.
Attacking kind of a dinosaur slash bird.
Yeah, now... at this point, they're actually getting scared of me. Now, this guy's a little bit stronger. He actually might beat me, so I might want to run away from this fight. But as I earn points through experience in this level of the game, at some point what I need to do is I need to find a mate.
I was just going to ask, how does mating happen?
Well, we have a little button down here, which gives us a mating call. And then I listen for a return in the environment. So I'm hearing off in the distance another mate. And if I do that enough and then head toward the sound... So here's a mate that actually wants to mate with me.
And now their little hearts are in a cloud, sort of.
So here's their little
going
mate.
Around each of your heads to indicate, I guess, that you're in love.
Yeah, yeah. We hear the soft jazz come up, and then your creature goes. Now that we've mated successfully, we can lay an egg. And we're going to actually dive into this egg, and we are going to design what's inside of it. And this is how we basically are designing our offspring.
Now, could you give it more legs if you wanted?
Yeah, in fact, that's kind of the fun part of the creature editor, is that you can design just about anything you can imagine. And also, I can go into the test drive here and see how it would walk. And so it'll actually figure out the way this thing would move.
I'm afraid if my daughter is never going to graduate from college if I let her get this.
Well, people love playing with creatures, especially, you know, creatures they've designed. And
yeah.
Very rarely do people have that opportunity.
Do you expect to be surprised by how it develops as all of these millions of people...
Oh, certainly. In fact, you know, the community, if it's a thriving, interesting community, it's going to be out of our control, and it's going to go, you know, it's like turning on the switch for Frankenstein. It gets up off the table and walks through a wall, and it's like, you know,
maybe not
a little scary.
Frankenstein may not be the trope you want there.
Well, no, in some sense, I think it is. You know, the more they surprise us and the kind of more out of our control they are, I think the more interesting it is. And I'm getting a tremendous amount of enjoyment just looking at weird stuff they're, you know, managing to do that we didn't even think was possible.
You say you hope it sparks the interest in kids in science. Was there a moment in your childhood that was that eureka aha moment?
I think for me it was the space race. I grew up in the 60s and remember, you know, watching all the early space launches and being totally captivated by it. I remember, you know, in our house we had a model of the moon and the Earth, and when the Apollo astronauts were going to the moon, we were actually pushing the little spacecraft every day along the line. And so, you know, I remember just being very caught up in that.
In the later stage of Spore, you can simulate the long-term effects of global warming very quickly. What were you trying to do there with that scenario?
Well, really, it's, you know, whatever level of the game we're at, we're trying to turn it into a toy. Later, at the space level, you're actually terraforming entire planets and trying to build up the biosphere, the ecosystem, and colonize them. And really, we wanted to say, you know, if you had a toy planet sitting in your hands, what sort of things might you want to do with it as a toy? And, you know, the whole game was really kind of driven by that philosophy.
Well, and in that particular case, given that climate change is on everyone's mind, it seems to me that that kind of play really could have an effect on the way people think about the world, don't you think?
Yeah, really. I think in games, you know, one of the things they can do is they can take things that are way outside of our perceptual range and shift them into it. So, for instance, we don't really think in terms of, you know, millennia or even 100 years because they're so far out of our time scale. But in a game, you can have all these dynamics occurring over a few minutes. And so, basically, we take the universe, turn it into a bunch of toys, and here you get to play with them.
Will Wright, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Will Wright is the creator of the brand new computer game Spore, which is already being played on hundreds of thousands of computers as I speak. Coming up, our intrepid reporter gets down and dirty with radical art in the Nevada desert.
I'm getting a tattoo on my breast by a man named Sticker Man. Oh, God. First time touched by a man in many years. Many, many years. Oh, I'm getting chills.
We hit Burning Man. That's ahead on Studio 360 from PRI. Stay with us.